Hello and welcome to Leftist Reading, a podcast where I'm a leftist and I read things. Today we're going on to chapter 3 of the curriculum of Marxism-Leninism, but don't be fooled, chapter 3 is both the final chapter and also only about 10% of the book, give or take. The chapter 2 was a significant amount of the text, and it will end kind of as it is the first unit of a longer curriculum, the rest of which is not yet translated. So I'm expecting this more so to kind of tie up what we have read thus far. But let's find out. Chapter 3, Cognitive Theory of Dialectical Materialism. In Marxism, epistemological reasoning, or epistemology, is the foundation of dialectics. Dialectical materialist epistemology is a theory of applying human cognitive ability to the objective world through practical activities. It explains the nature, path, and general laws of the human process of perceiving truth and objective reality to serve human practical activities. Annotation 210. Epistemology is the theoretical study of knowledge. It also deals with the philosophical question of, how do we know what is true? Throughout history, philosophers have tried to determine the nature of truth and knowledge. In the era of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, there was an ongoing dispute between the materialists, who believed that truth could only be sought through sense experience of the material world, and the idealists, who believed that truth could only be sought through reasoning within the human mind. Marx and Engels developed the philosophical system of dialectical materialism to resolve this dispute. Dialectical materialism upholds that the material and the ideal have a dialectical relationship with one another. The material determines the ideal, while the ideal impacts the material. See the relationship between matter and consciousness. However, it's important to understand that Marx and Engels didn't develop the system of dialectical materialism simply to understand the world. As Marx wrote in Theses on Feuerbach, quote, "The philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point is to change it." End quote. So, Marx's dialectical materialist epistemology is developed specifically to enable human beings to not only perceive truth and objective reality, but to then be able to apply our conscious thought through practical activity in order to bring about change in the world. A. Praxis and basic forms of praxis. Praxis includes all human material activities which have purpose and historical social characteristics, and which transform nature and society. Unlike other activities, praxis is activity in which humans attempt to materially impact the world to suit our purposes. Praxis activities define the nature of human beings and distinguish human beings from other animals. Praxis is objective activity, and praxis has been constantly developed by humans through the ages. Annotation 211. In English, the words practice and praxis are often distinguished from one another. Practice is often used to refer to human activity, which provides more information about the world around us and improves our knowledge and understanding, whereas praxis often refers to conscious human activity which is intended to change the world in some manner. In their original German, Marx and Engels used the same German word, praxis, to refer to both concepts. Similarly, in the original Vietnamese text of this book, the same word, thuc thien, is used for both practice and praxis. One reason that these concepts are so closely related is that all conscious activity serves both roles by simultaneously telling us more about reality and consciously changing reality in some way. For example, by pushing a heavy stone, you may be able to move the stone a small amount, constituting praxis, while simultaneously learning how heavy the stone is and how difficult it is to move, constituting practice. The main point of distinction, therefore, is intention. Virtually all conscious activity is practice, but only activity which has purpose and historical social characteristics might be considered praxis. Purpose simply describes a goal or desired outcome. Specifically, a desired change in nature or human society. Activities with historical social characteristics are activities which contribute in some way to the development of human society. In this translation, we use practice and praxis interchangeably to mean conscious activity which improves our understanding and which has purpose and historical social characteristics. You are likely to find these words used differently, as described above, or in other ways, in other texts. Engels explains the importance of practice / praxis in socialism, utopian, and scientific. Quote, "The proof of the pudding is in the eating. From the moment we use these objects, according to the qualities we perceive in them, we put to an infallible test the correctness or otherwise of our sense perception. If these perceptions have been wrong, then our estimate of the use to which an object can be turned must also be wrong, and our attempt must fail. But if we succeed in accomplishing our aim, if we find that the object does agree with our idea of it, and does answer the purpose we intended it for, then that is positive proof that our perceptions of it and of its qualities, so far, agree with reality outside ourselves." End quote. Marx wrote in Theses on Feuerbach that, quote, "The coincidence of the changing of circumstances and of human activity or self-change can be conceived and rationally understood only as a revolutionary practice." German, revolutionär Praxis. End quote. Engels further expands upon this concept in Ludwig Feuerbach and the End of Classical German Philosophy, writing, quote, "The most telling refutation of this, as of all other philosophical fancies, is practice, v. experiment and industry. If we are able to prove the correctness of our conception of a natural process by making it ourselves, bringing it into being out of its conditions, and using it for our own purposes into the bargain, then there is an end of the Kantian incomprehensible or ungraspable." End quote. Praxis defines the nature of human beings because human beings are, to our present knowledge, the only beings which undertake actions with conscious awareness of our desired outcomes and comprehension of the historical development of our own society, which distinguishes human beings from all other animals. Praxis is objective reality, meaning that all praxis activities are performed in relation to external things, phenomena, and ideas. See annotation 108. Praxis has been constantly developed by humans through the ages, meaning that as we learn more about the nature of reality, of human society, and the laws of nature, we are able to develop our praxis to become more efficient and effective. Praxis activities are very diverse, manifesting with ever-increasing variety, but there are only three basic forms: material production activities, socio-political activities, and scientific experimental activities. Material production activity is the first and most basic form of praxis. In this form of praxis activity, humans use tools throughout labor processes to influence the natural world in order to create wealth and material resources and to develop the conditions necessary to maintain our existence and development. Socio-political activity includes praxis activity utilized by various communities and organizations in human society to transform political-social relations in order to promote social development. Scientific experimental activity is a special form of praxis activity. This includes human activities that resemble or replicate states of nature and society in order to determine the laws of change and development of subjects of study. This form of activity plays an important role in the development of society, especially in the current historical period of modern science and technological revolution. Annotation 212. The three basic forms of praxis activities listed above obviously do not include all forms of human activity, as praxis only includes activities which have purpose and historical social characteristics. Material production activity has a very clear purpose, to improve the material conditions of an individual human being or of a group of human beings. Material production activity has historical social characteristics because developing material conditions for human beings leads directly to the development of human society. For example, as food production increases in terms of yield and efficiency, society can support a larger number of human beings and a wider range of human activities, which leads to the development of human society. Socio-political activity has the purpose of promoting social development, which is obviously inherently historical social in nature. An example of socio-political activity would include any sort of political campaign, liberation struggle, political revolutionary activity, etc. Scientific experimental activity has the purpose of expanding our understanding of nature and human society, which leads directly to historical social development in a variety of ways. For example, improving our scientific understanding of medicine through scientific experimental activity leads to longer lives and improved quality of life. Improving our scientific understanding of chemistry through scientific experimental activity leads to all sorts of materials which improve the quality of life and enable human beings to solve a variety of social problems. In order to qualify as praxis activity, a given human activity must have a purpose, and it must have historical social characteristics. For instance, drawing is not always praxis in the sense of the word used in this text, but it would be praxis if it would qualify as material production activity, i.e. making art in order to sell, so as to make a living, or if the art is made with the intention of invoking social change. Every basic praxis activity form has an important function, and these functions are not interchangeable with each other. However, they have close relationships with each other, and different praxis activity forms often interact with each other. In these relationships, material production is the most important form of praxis activity, playing a decisive role in determining other praxis activities because material production is the most primitive activity and exists most commonly in human life. Material production creates the most essential, decisive material conditions for human survival and development. Without material production, there cannot be other praxis activities. After all other praxis activities arise from material production praxis, and all praxis activities ultimately aim to serve material production praxis. Annotation 213. Without material production activity, human beings would not be able to live at all. Thus, material production activities make all other forms of human activities possible. In addition, the primary reason we participate in socio-political activity is to ensure material security, food, water, shelter, etc., for members of society, which ultimately relies on material production activity. Therefore, the primary reason we engage in scientific experimental activity is to improve material production activities in terms of efficiency, yield, effectiveness, etc. Of course, we engage in scientific experimental activity and material production activity for other reasons, art, entertainment, recreation, etc. But these activities require that material security be secured first for those participating in the production and consumption of such products. In other words, material production activity is a prerequisite for all other forms of activity, since without some measure of material security, humans cannot survive. Figure 1. Material production activity has a dialectical relationship with all other praxis activity, with material production activity determining, while being impacted by, all other forms of praxis activity. Thus, material production activity has a dialectical relationship with other forms of praxis activities, in which material production activity determines both socio-political and scientific experimental activity, while socio-political and scientific experimental activity impact material production activity. B. Consciousness and levels of consciousness. the dialectical materialist perspective sees consciousness as a process of reflecting the objective world within the human brain on a practical basis to create knowledge about the objective world. Consciousness is a self-aware process that is productive and creative. This view stems from the following basic principles. The dialectical materialist worldview acknowledges that the material world exists objectively and independently of human consciousness. The dialectical materialist worldview recognizes the following human abilities: to perceive the objective world, to reflect the objective world into the human mind, which enables human subjects to learn about external objects, see annotation 66, to admit that there are no material things nor phenomena which are unrecognizable, but only material things and phenomena that humans have not yet recognized. See the opposition of materialism and idealism in solving basic philosophical issues. The dialectical materialist worldview affirms that conscious reflection, see annotation 67, of the objective world is a dialectical, productive, self-aware, and creative process. This reflection process develops from the unknown to the known, from knowing less to knowing more, from knowing less profoundly and less comprehensively to knowing more profoundly and more comprehensively. Annotation 214. The above principle, that human knowledge develops from less and less comprehensive to more and more comprehensive states, stands in contrast to various other philosophical systems of belief, including Hegel's absolute idealism upholds a belief in an absolute ideal, which constitutes an ultimate limit or endpoint of knowledge which humanity is moving towards. Dialectical materialism upholds that there is no such absolute ideal and thus no such terminal endpoint of human understanding. See annotation 234. As Engels wrote in Anti-During, quote, "If mankind ever reached the stage at which it should work only with eternal truths, with results of thought which possess sovereign validity and an unconditional claim to truth, it would then have reached the point where the infinity of the intellectual world, both in its actuality and in its potentiality, had been exhausted, and thus the famous miracle of the counted uncountable would have been performed." End quote. Fideism, which is the belief that knowledge is received from some higher power, i.e. God, Fideism upholds that all knowledge is pre-existing and that humanity simply receives it from on high. Dialectical materialism, on the other hand, argues that knowledge is developed over time through dialectical processes of consciousness and human activity. Positivism, or empiricist materialism, which holds that there are hard limits to human knowledge, or that human knowledge, which can only be obtained from sense data, can't be trusted. Dialectical materialism upholds that all things and phenomena can be known and understood, and that sense data can be trusted as an objective reflection of reality. For more information about skepticism about human sense data, as well as positive and empiricist materialism, see annotations 10 and 58. The dialectical materialist worldview considers praxis as the primary and most direct basis of consciousness, and as the motive and the purpose of consciousness, and as the criterion for testing truth. See the relationship between praxis and consciousness. Annotation 215. Given the above principles, the human consciousness exists independently from the material world yet is capable of accurately perceiving and reflecting the material world, and that knowledge develops over time through a synthesis of consciousness and practical activity, we can conclude that consciousness is a self-aware process which is productive and creative. Consciousness is productive and creative in the sense that conscious processes, in conjunction with practical experience and activity in the material world, leads to the development of knowledge and practical experience, which allows humans to develop our understanding of the world, as well as our own material conditions through the application of knowledge to our own labor activities. Next, we will examine different ways of categorizing conscious activities as they pertain to developing knowledge and practical understanding of our world. From the dialectical materialist point of view, consciousness is a process of development. Consciousness develops from empirical consciousness to theoretical consciousness, and from ordinary consciousness to scientific consciousness. Annotation 216. In dialectical materialist philosophy, all systems of relation exist as processes of development in motion. See Annotation 120. Thus, consciousness can be defined as a system of relations between human brain activity and two forms of data input. Sense experience, observations of the external world detected by our senses, and knowledge, information which exists in the human mind as memories and ideas. Consciousness is thus a process of development of knowledge through a combination of human brain activity and human practical activity in the physical world, i.e. labor. In the section below, we will explore different forms of consciousness, the development of consciousness, and the relationship between consciousness and knowledge. Note that these are abstractions of consciousness and knowledge meant to help us understand how knowledge and consciousness develop over time. Thought processes are extremely complex, so we seek to develop a fundamental understanding of how consciousness develops and how knowledge develops because these processes are fundamental to the development of human beings and human societies. Just as consciousness is a process of developing knowledge through brain activity, consciousness itself also develops over time. The development of consciousness can be considered based on the criteria of concrete/abstract and of passive/active. Consciousness develops from a state of direct and immediate observation of the world, which results in concrete knowledge, to a higher stage which constitutes a more abstract and general understanding of the world. We call consciousness, which is focused on direct, immediate, concrete, empirical observation of the world, empirical consciousness. And we call consciousness, which is focused on forming abstract generalizations about the world, theoretical consciousness. The concrete, empirical consciousness develops into the abstract, theoretical consciousness. Empirical consciousness is a process of collecting data about the world, which we call knowledge. We can gather two forms of knowledge through empirical consciousness, ordinary knowledge and scientific knowledge. Passive and direct, ordinary consciousness develops into active and direct, scientific consciousness. Ordinary knowledge is the knowledge we accumulate through our everyday experiences of the world. Scientific knowledge is gathered through more systematic scientific observations and experiments. Scientific knowledge usually develops from ordinary knowledge as we begin to seek a more formal and systematic understanding of the things we witness in our daily lives. According to Themes in Soviet Marxist Philosophy, edited by T.J. Blakely, quote, "Ordinary knowledge notes what lies on the very surface, what happens during a certain event. Scientific knowledge wants to know why it happens in just this way. The essence of scientific knowledge lies in the confirmed generalization of facts where it becomes necessary rather than contingent, universal instead of particular, law-bound, and can serve as a basis for predicting various phenomena, events, and objects. The whole progress of scientific knowledge is bound up with growth in the force and volume of scientific prediction. Prediction makes it possible to control processes and to direct them. Scientific knowledge opens up the possibility not only of predicting the future, but also of consciously forming it. The vital meaning of every science can be expressed as follows: to know in order to predict, and to predict in order to act. An essential characteristic of scientific knowledge is that it is systematic, i.e., it is a set of information which is ordered according to certain theoretical principles. A collection of unsystematized knowledge is not yet science. Certain basic premises are fundamental to scientific knowledge, i.e. the laws which make it possible to systematize the knowledge. Knowledge becomes scientific when the collection of facts and their descriptions reach the level where they are included in a theory. End quote. Theoretical consciousness arises from conscious reflection on accumulated knowledge, as human beings seek to develop general and abstract understanding of the underlying principles of processes we experience in the world. Once general principles of natural and social law are established, human beings then test those general conclusions against empirical reality through further observation, i.e. through empirical consciousness. Thus, there is a dialectical relationship between empirical consciousness and theoretical consciousness. As one form leads to another, back and forth, again and again, continuously. Figure 2. Empirical and theoretical consciousness have a dialectical relationship in which empirical consciousness and theoretical consciousness lead to and mutually develop one another. Consciousness also develops from passive and surface-level observation and understanding of the world, i.e. simply considering what, where, and when things happen, to more active pursuit of the underlying meaning of the world, i.e. trying to understand how and why things happen. Consciousness, which passively observes the world directly in daily life, is referred to as ordinary consciousness. Ordinary consciousness often develops into more active consciousness. This active pursuit of understanding through systematic observation and direct experiences, i.e. experiences that do not occur in daily activity, such as scientific experimentation, is referred to as scientific consciousness. Passive and direct ordinary consciousness develops into active and indirect scientific consciousness. These concepts will be discussed in further detail below. Empirical consciousness is the stage of development of consciousness in which perceptions are formed via direct observations of things and phenomena in the natural world, or of society, or through scientific experimentation and systematic observation. Empirical consciousness results in empirical knowledge. Empirical knowledge has two types. Ordinary empirical knowledge, knowledge obtained through direct observation and in productive labor, and scientific empirical knowledge, knowledge obtained by conducting scientific experiments. These two types of knowledge can be complementary and can enrich one another. Theoretical consciousness is the indirect, abstract, systematic level of perception in which the nature and laws of things and phenomena are generalized and abstracted. Empirical consciousness and theoretical consciousness are two different cognitive stages, but they have a dialectical relationship with each other. In this dialectical relationship, empirical consciousness is the basis of theoretical consciousness. It provides theoretical consciousness with specific, rich material, i.e. knowledge. Empirical consciousness is linked closely to practical activities, since practical activity in the material world is the chief method of gathering knowledge through empirical consciousness, and forms the basis for checking, correcting, and supplementing existing theories and summarizing and generalizing them into new theories. However, empirical consciousness is still limited in that empirical consciousness stops at the description and classification of data obtained from direct observation and experimentation. Therefore, empirical consciousness only brings understanding about the separate, superficial, discrete aspects of observed subjects without yet reflecting the essence of those subjects, nor the underlying principles or laws which regulate those subjects. Therefore, empirical consciousness alone is not sufficient for determining the scientific laws of nature and society. To determine such laws and abstractions, theoretical consciousness must be applied. So, theoretical consciousness does not form spontaneously nor directly from experience, although it is formed from the summation of experiences. Annotation 217. The knowledge we gained from our daily activity often inspires scientific inquiry and more systematic observation, which can yield scientific knowledge which will enrich and improve our daily practice and allow us to experience daily life with a deeper understanding of what we're experiencing. Thus, the ordinary knowledge we gain through daily practice can enrich and yield scientific knowledge, and vice versa. Empirical consciousness and theoretical consciousness have a dialectical relationship with each other, in which empirical consciousness provides the basis for theoretical consciousness. Theoretical consciousness attempts to derive general abstractions and governing principles from empirical knowledge, which is gained through empirical consciousness. Once theoretical principles, generalities, and abstractions are determined, they are then tested against reality through empirical consciousness, i.e. practical observation and systematic experimentation, to determine if the theory is sound. Figure 3. Empirical consciousness and theoretical consciousness have a dialectical relationship with one another. Our observations of the material world lead to conscious activity, which we can then test in reality through conscious activity, and so on, in a never-ending cycle of dialectical development. For example, a farmer may notice that plants grow better in locations where manure has been discarded, an act of empirical consciousness. The farmer might then form the theory that adding manure to the soil will help plants grow, an act of theoretical consciousness. This theory could then be tested against reality by mixing manure into the soil and observing the results, which would be another act of empirical consciousness. The farmer may then theorize that more manure will help the plants grow even more, another act of theoretical consciousness, continuing the cycle of testing and observing. This dialectical relationship between ordinary and theoretical consciousness is what allows human beings to develop and improve knowledge through practical experience, observation, and theoretical abstraction and generalization of knowledge. Theoretical consciousness is relatively independent from empirical consciousness. Therefore, theories can precede expectations and guide the formation of valuable empirical knowledge. Theoretical consciousness is what allows human beings to sort and filter knowledge so as to best serve practical activities and contribute to the transformation of human life. Through this process, knowledge is organized and therefore enhanced, and develops from the level of specific, individual, and solitary knowledge to a higher form of generalized and abstract knowledge, what we might call theoretical knowledge. Annotation 218. Knowledge which comes from empirical observations, empirical consciousness, is empirical knowledge. Theoretical knowledge is a product of theoretical consciousness. Over time, as repeated and varied observations are made through theoretical consciousness activities, knowledge becomes more generalized and abstract. This general and abstract knowledge is what we call theoretical knowledge. Note that empirical and theoretical knowledge can be ordinary or scientific in nature. If the knowledge arrives passively from daily life activities, it will be ordinary knowledge, regardless of whether or not it is empirical or theoretical in nature. If, on the other hand, the knowledge arises from methodological measurement and/or systematic observation, then it is scientific knowledge. So far, we have discussed ways of understanding consciousness based on the criteria of directness versus abstractness. Next, we will discuss another way of looking at consciousness based on the criteria of passiveness versus activeness. Ordinary consciousness refers to perception that is formed passively and directly from the daily activities of humans. Ordinary consciousness is a reflection of things, phenomena, and ideas with all their observed characteristics, specific details, and nuances. Therefore, ordinary consciousness is rich, multifaceted, and associated with daily life. Therefore, ordinary consciousness has a regular and pervasive role in governing the activities of each person in society. Scientific consciousness refers to perception formed actively and indirectly from the reflections of the characteristics, nature, and inherent relationships of research subjects. This reflection takes place in the form of logical abstraction. These logical abstractions include scientific concepts, categories, and laws. Scientific consciousness is objective, abstract, general, and systematic, and must be grounded in evidence. Scientific consciousness utilizes systematic methodologies to profoundly describe the nature of studied subjects as well as the principles which govern them. Therefore, scientific consciousness plays an increasingly important role in practical activities, especially in the modern age of science and technology. Annotation 219. Logical abstraction refers to an understanding of the underlying rules which govern things, phenomena, and ideas which underlie objective processes, relationships, and characteristics. Logical abstraction is the result of scientific inquiry. Over time, our understanding of the rules which govern the things, phenomena, and ideas in our lives become more reliable and applicable in practical activities. This attainment of understanding and practical ability through scientific practice is scientific consciousness. Ordinary and scientific consciousness are two different qualitative steps of cognitive processes which, together, allow humans to discover truth about our world. Ordinary and scientific consciousness have a strong dialectical relationship with each other. In this relationship, ordinary consciousness precedes scientific consciousness, as ordinary consciousness is a source of material for the development of scientific consciousness. Although it contains the seeds of scientific knowledge, ordinary consciousness mainly stops at the reflection of superficial details, seemingly random events, and non-essential phenomena. See Essence and Phenomenon. Ordinary consciousness, therefore, cannot transform effortlessly into scientific consciousness. To develop ordinary consciousness into scientific consciousness, we must go through the process of accurate summarizing, abstracting, and generalization using scientific methods. Likewise, once scientific consciousness has been developed, it impacts and pervades ordinary consciousness, and therefore develops ordinary consciousness. Scientific consciousness, therefore, enhances our everyday passive perception of the world. Figure 4. Ordinary consciousness refers to the passive observation of reality which takes place in our daily lives. Scientific consciousness refers to the systematic application of consciousness to solve specific problems in a methodological manner. Annotation 220. For example, before developing scientific consciousness of farming, a farmer might go through daily life having no idea what makes plants grow to be larger and more healthy, and might have no idea how to avoid common problems, such as pests. After developing scientific consciousness of farming through scientific experimentation and other systematic methodologies, the farmer will look at things differently in daily life activities. They may see signs of pest infestation and immediately recognize it for what it is, and they may see other indications that plants are unhealthy and know exactly what to do to remedy the situation. In this way, scientific consciousness enhances ordinary consciousness. Meanwhile, ordinary consciousness, passive observation of the world during daily activities, will lead to scientific consciousness by inspiring us to actively seek understanding of the world through scientific consciousness. And that is going to do it for this week. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, or suggestions, you can email leftistreading@gmail.com or contact the show on Twitter @leftistreading. This show is hosted on the Abnormal Mapping Network. You can go to abnormalmapping.com to find this and lots of other leftist podcasts. You can also go to patreon.com/abnormalmapping and check out lots of other shows there. Our intro and outro music is Decisions by Eric Medias. You can find that and more on soundimage.org. That's all for this week, though. Thank you for listening, and keep reading.